Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. Today's guest is Todd Lehman, a remarkable man I recently met and just saw for the first time face-to-face about 10 minutes ago. And he's done several remarkable things in his life, and I'm just going to go right to you and let's talk. Can we start with the fact that, I don't know how you feel about this, but it seems that Robin Williams' suicide has brought the world together in some moment of compassion and understanding and desire not to hide the dark side.
I'm clearly, first of all, thank you for having me do this.
Thank you for doing it. What you're doing is so important. Go ahead.
I cringe at the introduction of remarkable, but
well, that can be mine. It doesn't have to be yours.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, there's a lot of people who struggle and battle and fight demons for mm-hmm. whatever reason, whether it's things that are in their past, their present, or even the fear of a future. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's just allowed people to talk about it. I had a mm-hmm. friend who posted on Facebook, she's a therapist, and she said that since Robin's death, every patient has come in and said, I've had thoughts of suicide. I have this darkness that I've never talked about. Uh-huh. Can we please talk about it? So I
he's
guess
made
in a
job
way
easier.
He's made it, he's yeah. made, well, and he's made their job easier,
right.
Because
that's
a lot of baggage to, it's a lot of baggage to walk around with feeling that way. And I think that a lot of times people want to talk about it, but they're just afraid. It's not that they're afraid to talk about it. They're afraid of the reaction they're going to get.
Oh, yes.
And so if
okay.
you say to someone, God, you know, I'm really sad. I'm really fighting these thoughts. And you're met with a blank stare.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're met with a, oh, you just need to have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
hey,
let's go get coffee.
Right.
And you're not, it just makes you feel worse, I guess.
You just need a good night's sleep.
Yeah, uh-huh. exactly. And so take a day off. And, mm-hmm. You know, one thing that people said about Robin a lot was if he had only known that he touched so many people, or if he could have known that there was so much love for him. Well, you know what? He knew.
Right.
But that's not, you know, when you're battling like that, and I'm no expert, but when you're battling like that, none of that doesn't matter.
No.
You know, it appears and seems like, you know, the only place he felt safe was when he was on stage, and you
mm-hmm.
can't, beyond 24/7, you're going to end up alone from time to time, and that's where the demons feast.
Mm-hmm. But people really came through somehow for him, and maybe for themselves, and for the relief of being able to say things out loud.
Absolutely.
What is your a day well lived? Can you talk about that?
Sure. Well, I started A Day Well Lived as a Facebook page.
Why?
2.5 years ago, and my son, when he was 6 or so, mm-hmm. Every night before going to sleep, I made him tell me he had a case of what I call the I wants. So every day was I want this, I want that, I want this, I want
material
that.
Material thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started to do what I call the three gratefuls. And every night before he went to sleep, he needed to tell me that three things he was grateful for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And to start to kind of try to change his mindset a little bit to realize just how much he actually has. And he said, you know, he'd say, I had a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Every day has three things that you can find that you can be grateful for. It could be, I'm grateful for the dinner mommy made. I'm grateful that Harley, our dog, mm-hmm. gave me a kiss today. I go, it can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so
he understood that, right? How old was he?
He was about 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he did or didn't, mm-hmm. but he understood the action. But I just felt like if we could train his brain to understand, or at least start to train him to understand the power of gratitude in these bad days, because he was having bad days. And so one day he said to me, you do it today.
Uh-huh.
And I said, dude, I had a really bad day today.
Yeah.
A really bad day. And I had.
What made a really bad day for you?
Oh, I was fighting with clients and mm-hmm. some big problems at work, and it just all felt huge and heavy. And he said, well, you always told me that you can always find three things to be grateful about. So I said, okay. And I said, I worked out, I wrote, and I played with you. Mm-hmm. I said, actually, and I said, and as soon as I said it, I said, you know what? That's a day well lived.
Oh, nice.
And so I being in the media space, I mm-hmm. tweeted it, of course, and went on, and I thought, wow, hashtag a day well lived. And the next morning I woke up and I said this in, you know, this intention, today's going to be a day well lived. And I went on Facebook. I'm like, there's no group. Mm-hmm. So I started this group and I sent it out to a few friends. I said, hey, I'm going to start this thing and just come tell your, share your stories. Tell me what makes a day well lived for you. And then it started to, you know, I had 75 people and then 100 and then there was 500. And then I started posting kind of a daily quote and sharing some links.
On your day well lived.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then it started to grow. And now there's 250 something thousand people
wow.
that have liked the page. And, you know, from a marketing standpoint, I understand what that means. It can mean nothing or it can mean a lot. But
so
the engagement is really good.
Which
so.
Would make it mean nothing and which would make
it likes on Facebook don't necessarily mean anything. So
yeah.
you could say I have 10 million likes and who cares if nobody's actually participating
uh-huh.
in the discussion.
Uh-huh.
But we do get a pretty good participation. So we started a website, adaywelllived.com,
mm-hmm.
created some shirts and start selling mm-hmm. some stuff. And I think that there's a real opportunity to capture the power of gratitude. You know, the brand Life is Good was started to capture optimism and
mm-hmm.
they just felt that their initial t-shirts was the best way to spread the message. And they sell these t-shirts, they give money away.
When
and I want to do Life is Good, that brand,
uh-huh.
the brand Life
okay.
is Good. So I want to kind of mimic what they're
I
doing
see.
And, at a day well lived. And, you know, nothing gives me more sort of makes me feel more like a superhero than when I can write a check and give money away to somebody. That's like my favorite day.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can start to sell some stuff and give money away to
oh, I see. So you want the money that, you make
yeah,
to
just
do some
give
good.
It away. So it's just become a really cool daily exercise for me. It's a great gratitude reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get sucked into, I do get, it's not growing fast enough. I'm not doing enough. I wish I could spend more time on it, you know, but cause I do have a day job.
Right.
And, but then, you know, just the comments that people make on the page. And
so what's your hope for this? I mean, what would be your dream goal
for a day well lived?
Mm-hmm.
I would love ultimately for that to be something that I can turn into a revenue generating, money donating powerhouse.
So that you have the power to make life better for others.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I mean, to me, that to create content, create cool videos, to make people think, to inspire people to action, all those kinds of things. You know, I have long said that inspiration without action isn't actually inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody says, oh, I was so inspired by what they said, my first question to them is always, well, what did you do?
Okay, so that's really a good question. So what is there to do, for example?
So if I was to inspire someone from a day well lived,
mm-hmm.
that's up to them. If they read.
Yeah, but what would be something that would make you feel successful in that?
Well, I think if people said, you know, if people used the content to stimulate action in their own, like, wow, that's
oh,
kind
see.
Of a cool thing.
So
I'm going to
take
gonna,
it forward.
Yeah.
And do something
and do,
else.
It doesn't
uh-huh.
have to be a day well lived related. It can be related
yes.
to themselves. Day well lived stimulates something in their head and they go, mm-hmm. I could go do X, Y, Z and go off and do X,
yeah,
Y, Z.
I understand. Okay. I didn't know how that worked. That's wonderful. What you were talking before about the summer.
Oh, Mutual of Omaha. Yeah. So, you know, something that, and again, this comes out of that too. And a lot of what we do, what I do has sort of this underpinning of storytelling and inspiration. And I think that, so in my day job,
mm-hmm.
which is a company called Skedaddle Media, and we're a content development company and a marketing company. And we work with Mutual of Omaha to, we do their advertising, But we also do a summer tour, and we bought a 34-foot.
Now, when you say we, was that your
my
own
company? Yeah,
skedaddle.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's my company, and so we bought a 34-foot Airstream trailer and stripped out the insides and rebuilt the inside as a mobile video recording studio. And for 5 years, we've run around the country interviewing people who are telling us their aha moments.
And so, what are some of them?
Oh, there's amazing stories about people starting foundations. There's people talking about how they realized that their autistic son was totally normal. There was,
oh my goodness.
There's stories about people overcoming illness. There's people deciding to get married, get divorced.
So whatever they wanted. Yeah.
All these things that, these life-changing moments, you know, that they're called light bulb moments or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually result in some sort of life change, but it's all this deeply personal. And we've recorded 5,000 stories in 5 years, and these people come in, and it's, I think people are so starved to have a platform to share their story. And I don't mean that in a narcissistic look at me way. I mean it in the same way that we go back to what you originally asked about Robin Williams. I have something I've got to get out. You know, it's just going to be a relief to have these conversations. We had someone come into the Airstream and tell us that she was an alcoholic and she'd never told anybody that. These are total strangers she's talking to, but she had this opportunity and she was talking all about her recovery. There was a 19-year-old woman on the tour we're just wrapping up now who tried to kill herself as recently as May. And she had multiple failed attempts, and she realized that, you know, her aha moment was that she's supposed to live.
Oh.
And so now she's started a nonprofit and a website to help teens who are depressed and trying.
Okay.
So we hear these incredible.
So the ripple goes on.
The ripple goes on. Yes. And I say this quote all the time, but I read this somewhere that if you want to hate your country, watch the news. And if you want to love your country, ride your bike across it.
Oh.
And that's what this is, you know? It's like you ride your bike across the country and you're going to talk to all these people who do amazing things.
And the news is a particularly dangerous industry.
Right.
Because, you know, as long as the news is bad,
right,
you don't feel safe enough to leave the house.
Right.
You stay tuned.
Right.
And how nice for the sponsors.
Yeah.
You know, if the news is good, you will go out and ride your bike and you won't be watching this.
Well, and
know.
It's...
A friend of mine once said, the goal of newspapers is to sell lipsticks.
Right. No, that's a good point. But I think that the, you know, if you are battling demons, if you pay attention to that stuff, it just drags you deeper and deeper and deeper.
So I have a question. When you said about the woman was an alcoholic and had never told anybody, do you think, because it's hard to tell people you're close to, I think, you know, if children tell parents these kinds of things, I think they're sometimes protective. Parents will feel like failures if children are going through a horrible time.
Totally.
And we all need to know we've done something right. And that could be a way of maybe getting the news to those close to her without her having to look them in the face.
I think there's something to that. I also think that there's, like I said, there's such a fear to telling someone you love that you're battling something. And they don't give you the reaction that you need. And
so you know you're stranded.
Right.
Yes.
You know, and so this is a great way, I think, to, you know, if a stranger comes up to me and tells me that they're struggling, it's really easy for me to, you know, interact with that person and ask the right question or ask questions. And if
your reputation's not on the line.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but I know that I snap at my son or I snap at other people around me when they tell me something they're dealing with and I don't respond the right way because I'm making it about me. Right. It's like, cause like you said, it's like, well, the parents, I failed you somehow. And what you're saying is a reflection on me.
Right.
So I'm going to respond from me instead of what you said.
Right.
And it's a dangerous and easy trap to fall into.
Yes. Well, you know, just in terms of when you were talking about the stories, because in terms of love letters, the stories have been the same. And I ask people, who gets your love letter today?
Right.
And there have been some really difficult. One young woman, her new to the country and her parents were murdered and there were six children left. The oldest, who was then 18, went to, just getting through this. Anyway, she went to court to win the right to raise her six little siblings. And she's telling the story that is absolutely horrific. I mean, the grief and the misery and confusion and helplessness. And when I asked her who gets her love letter today, she said, I want to write to my siblings to thank them. And I mean, really, what I first thought of was like a hate letter to God for letting this happen. And yet she had it in her to write a love letter. And so I said, to thank them for what? Letting you raise them? And she said, yes. And she said, in my culture, we never say these things out loud. And I need them to know. And I think it's that I need them to know. Because then you get seen in the whole yourself.
Right. Which is a, you know, such a massive challenge these days. I think that I hear stories about people who are drawn, or the people we're drawn to, and I keep hearing more and more about how, you know, we're drawn to authenticity, and
yes,
we're drawn to wholeness, and we're drawn to the place where we feel our most authentic, and also where other people are their most authentic. So, like, I love, for me, like, sitting in a small club listening to music with an artist up on stage, mm-hmm. just putting it all out there, mm-hmm. is so moving for me, you know?
Authenticity
is so...
It's, you know, then you know...
It's strangely, it's hard to come by, you know, because we're... And I think that social media makes it harder, you know, because we're comparing our insides to other people's outsides.
Well, somehow we're obligated to be having fun all the time.
Well, and to make it look perfect.
Yes.
And
that's a kiss of death.
I told someone that I loved the Facebook pages or the Facebook posts that say, today was a hard day and here's why, dot, dot, dot. I'm like, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You know what? Let us all help you get through it. And oh, by the way, this gives me the safe place to say, today was a hard day and here's
exactly.
why.
Exactly. Because authenticity is where you can trust.
Right.
And if you can trust, you cannot be so nervous.
Right.
You know, yes. You know, there was a young woman I know on Facebook who was really falling apart. And she was constantly posting. And I think it was Facebook that helped her get through day by day because people were writing back to her and saying, we love you and don't give up. And
well, and then the challenge becomes...
Not that she didn't have a lot of other work.
No, obviously. But then the challenge becomes, pick up the phone and call her and talk to her. Because it's so, hey, you send a text, hope today's okay, I saw your post, hope mm-hmm. today's okay. But when you're a voice on the other end of the line, there's just something easier. It's harder to fake. Hey, how are you? Oh, how are you today? You write back. Oh, I'm doing fine.
Right.
And you put your phone away. You're like, not really. You know, but you know, to be able to pick up the phone and talk to someone, we've forgotten how to do that.
We've also talked
about love letters being a lost uh-huh. art. The phone call is a lost art.
It's getting to be, yes. Yeah. Well, but for better reason than love letters, because when you make a phone call, you all too often get answering machines.
Right.
You know, it's hard to get a person by phone sometimes. You can always find them on Facebook.
But even still, just...
Leave a voice message.
I love getting a voice message that says, hey, you know, I saw your tweet or I saw the blog post that you wrote. I just want to make sure you're okay and, you know, give me a call back. And I'll call back. Actually, most of the time I'll text back and say I'm fine. And then I'll get a call back again going, no, 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 no. You know, so there's those friends that'll be like,
so you're keeping communication.
I'm going to call till I hear your voice tell me because I know you. And when you say I'm fine, I know what that I'm fine means versus a text. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you're not fine. You're not okay. So let's
do you
talk.
Do you ever write letters? Because
I love writing letters.
What kinds?
You know, I don't do it as much as I want to or as much as I intend to. And last year, I did this little challenge with a friend of mine where every Sunday I sent him a list of the three things I wanted to do that week. And, you know, just kind of have him there as a guide, you know, just someone to be responsible to. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I had on there was write a letter. And I did it for a number of weeks in a row. And it was just friends, clients, whoever, just sometimes longer, sometimes mm-hmm. short. And I It's a lost
well,
art.
But it isn't really. I mean, it's not done as much as it is, and I used to buy that also with the lost art. And then I realized, you know, it's not a lost art at all. It's just in the hands of fewer of us.
That's fair. Yeah.
You know, it used to be the only way.
Right.
And now there are so many other ways. But, you know, to sit down and write the things that you want to say.
Right.
Because it's not a voice, but you can't reread a phone call.
Right. Well, no, right. And I'm talking writing. I mean, not typing.
Oh, that's right. Handwriting is you.
Yeah.
There's no escaping it.
Yeah. And so, but I think, too, your hand cramps and it can be uncomfortable and it's part of the feeling that you're, you know, taking the time. You know, it's the time, but it's just so much more than just print. And sometimes I'll type it because I just have so much to say too fast.
But you sign it.
Always.
Because ultimately, when somebody gets a letter from you, they're touching something that's felt the touch of your hand, and that's a whole lot
different.
There'll
always be some kind of note written on the bottom, and I'll sign it. And, you know, it's just too much to say too fast, and I just need to get it all
out. Or sometimes, you know, when you talk about the three things that you're grateful for, I was doing for a while also a Facebook page, three things that you love about somebody.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
Right.
But to write it in a letter and mail it, they have that forever.
Right.
Forever.
I think it was in the Happiness Project.
What's that?
It's a book by Gretchen Rubin. I think it was in that book. No, it was a different book.
Okay.
But it was, there was a thing about this, it was about marriage and, you know, writing the 10 things you love about your partner once a week, once a month, whatever. And just, it has a big impact.
You know, there was an article some time ago, in Newsweek magazine, I think, by a lovely man named, I think, Robert Shaw. And he said, "We have the love, but I don't have the letters." And after his wife, they'd been married for more than 50 years, after she died, he had nothing with her handwriting on it. And it was horrible.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to know how comforting that handwriting is.
Absolutely.
It brings.
Well, what's interesting now is, you know, people take pictures of old handwritten letters and they post them on Facebook or tweet them or whatever we do with all these things now. And it's always so cool to read, you know, to see that written word and the word scratched out.
There's something so touching about
handwriting. And even things like, you know, when you see the original lyrics written by a performer that in their notebook or on the napkin or whatever, it's like, God, that's so cool because you can imagine that, again, there's just so much feeling and so much more of a sensory experience that goes into that.
That's right.
As opposed to typing.
I just heard from a teacher recently who said to parents, if you want me to read whatever you want to send me, do it in a written note, a handwritten note. And there was a whole different reason that had never occurred to me. People think that you are connected to the internet full time.
Yeah.
And you're not. You're teaching a class. So when that mother writes you an email at 2:30 that somebody else will be picking up the child, you don't get it.
Right.
A handwritten note means she has to think about it the day before.
Right.
And, you know, there's it'll get there. But let me ask you something. So if you were to write a love letter right now, who would it be to?
I knew you were going to ask me this,
yes,
of course.
Yes, I always
and
ask
I,
that.
I know. Well, that's why I knew. You know, I went through a whole sort of series of who would it go to. And, you know, it was to the world, and it was to myself. And,
oh, those are nice, by the way. There's a selfie that counts.
Yeah,
by the way.
A great point.
Yes.
But I think I would write it to my son.
Perfect. I mean, that's what
I think. I would always write it to my son.
Okay. So, what would you say? His name is
Colby.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's Colby at almost 9. Like his dad, feels a lot, and as a result, there's highs and lows and extremes. And I've never thought that was okay. You know, I just felt like it
You'd
was.
You'd rather he be more even for his own sake?
No. For me, I never thought it was okay. For him, I want him to know that it's totally okay.
I see.
And so, you know, I see so much of myself in the way he responds to situations, in the way he responds to interactions. And one of the things I say to him a lot is I'm like, look, I'm not trying to tell you how to handle things, but I would have done it exactly how you did. And here's where it got me. And let's talk about how maybe you have a chance to do it a little bit differently. And, you know, you have a chance, not that I can fix him, because I certainly don't want to do that.
Right.
But I just want him to know that.
Okay, so let me ask you, you're a really good writer, and I know that because I've read some of the things you've written. How do you turn that into a love letter? Because a love letter isn't something that gives instruction.
No,
a love letter is about the wonderful qualities of the other guy.
But it's about letting him know that he's okay, and that, you know, he has these amazing qualities, and not to run from him.
Okay, so isn't that a wonderful love letter right there?
Yeah. I mean, I've been afraid. It's funny because I, again, back to Robin, you know, I'm certainly not as funny as Robin is, or not even close. But, you know, I understand being in a room and just trying to make people laugh instead of letting them close. You know, because you get a reaction, and
then you get approval.
You get approval, and right.
But what if you wrote to your son once every 6 months? That's not a lot. You're writing anyway all the time, and you mail it to him, by the way,
right?
So he can read it in private, because love letters are private. Yeah. Doesn't matter. You know what's in it. Because I see people, you know, they take them to another room to read them privately.
Right.
What if you just said something like that every 6 months? And by the time he's an adult, he's going to have quite a stack of blatant approval.
Yeah.
And long after you're gone, when he's a grown old man,
yeah,
he's going to be able to look back and have that proof.
Yeah, and I've done...
that everything was okay.
You know, when I travel, and quite often on the days when I leave before he wakes up, I'll leave him a note.
About him?
About him. You know, proud of you.
And that's
today's
great.
Today's a great day. And, you know.
Does he keep those? Or you don't know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I find him scattered around from time to time. But, you know, take care of your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, it's, I think now that's more of an option because he's understanding more of it. You know,
and he can read.
And well, that's a big part of
yes.
it.
Yes.
But it's, you know, there were a time once when he told me he wanted to be an Olympic swimmer. And so we had just gotten out of a pool. We were on a trip together and we were having breakfast. And I said, you know, buddy, if that's what you want to do, that, you know, you can do it. But let's talk about what that means. And you've got to work and you've got to do this and you have to make sacrifices. There's dedication and yada, yada, yada. And what do you think of all that? But you can have it. That medal can go around you. He said, can you pass the syrup?
Yeah.
So, you know, there has to be a time.
Right. But in a letter,
he's ready. Right.
In a letter,
exactly.
If you say, you know, not what you have to do, but I know you have the.
No, well, and that's what it was. You
right.
can do it.
Right.
You can totally do it. And this is, and I'll help you.
At
whatever it takes, I will help you.
That's great.
So I helped him by cutting up the waffle.
I want to thank you for doing this with me.
That was great. No, this is fun. We could do it all day.
Well, we could do it again. You know, anytime you want to come back, if you've got other things to tell about,
right.
I'd love you to do it with me.
I would love
because
to.
Because people need that encouragement to not be shy from both sides.
Right.
And not to run from it in yourself or in others.
Right.
Oh,
and
thank
it starts
you.
Internal.
Yes, it does. Thank you, dear. Well, I want to say right now, just for the moment, goodbye from Janet Gallen. And please remember, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion. And listen to Todd. All those moments of gratitude, any one of those can be a love letter to somebody. Put it in your own handwriting. Gratitude taken to the grave serves no one. So until next time, goodbye.